Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
All right, time to take a look ahead at what's coming up on TV and in the cinema over the next week. And I'm joined once again by critic John McGuire and journalist and editor and podcaster Nadine O'Regan. Good afternoon, guys.
Afternoon. Good afternoon, Brendan. Hi, Nadine.
So, Nadine, we'll start with TV, and you picked something called The Unforgivable. Is Sandra Bullock, is she at the no level of straight to Netflix?
Do you know what? Yeah. This film is actually in cinemas as well, okay. And the production of it was delayed owing to the pandemic. It actually, as filming began in Vancouver in 2020, and I think it might have justifiably had a bigger splash around it had the pandemic not intervened.
Is
but
it good,
now,
yeah?
Well, now Sandra Bullock, I think, is really, really good in the film, and you know she's A-list, and that caliber shows through. The screenplay, however, is another story. It is based on a 2009 British miniseries written by Sally Wainwright, and I think that was originally shown on ITV. And in some ways, it seems like it's going to be a very good story. It's the story of a woman called Ruth Slater, who's been released from prison after 20 years for having done her time for a violent crime. She's killed a police officer, and now she's desperate to track down her little sister, who was adopted by a family and recalls nothing of her older sister. So the premise is great, a gritty role for Sandra Bullock, mm-hmm. and very interesting as she goes into a halfway house and the film kind of kicks off. Unfortunately, as the scenes continue on, it becomes more and more implausible. The screenplay falls apart a little bit. Having said that, the acting is really good. The scenes hold your attention, and there's Irish interest as well. Aisling Franciosi is in there as okay. the younger sister. And like, I found it very watchable, even if at the end I was going, well, you know, it's one of those Netflix. It's one of those Netflix films. It's out on Netflix on Friday and it's in cinemas now.
There should be a category.
The Unforgivable.
It will pass the time for you.
That is kind of it.
Not unpleasantly. Yeah. Okay. Now, John, the BBC are having a great run of their in their drama in their Sunday night, 9 p.m. slot. And You Don't Know Me starts tonight, but it actually continues tomorrow night then.
That's right, tonight, tomorrow night, and then next Sunday and next Sunday night, 4-hour-long episodes. It's on BBC, and since it's a co-production with Netflix, it'll eventually land on that platform. This is a legal procedural by the novelist and barrister Imran Mahmood, based on his book. He says the book was inspired by the kind of young men that he defended in the criminal courts in London. And it has Samuel Adewunmi play a character called Hero. Now, his surname isn't Protagonist, but he's the hero of the story. And he's a young black Londoner who's standing in the dock on a charge of murdering a young boy. There's stacks of forensic evidence against him, gunshot residue, blood under his fingernails, that kind of thing. As he stands up, he sacks his barrister, proclaims his innocence, and starts to tell a story of how the boy's death, which he is innocent of, is linked to a young woman named Kyra, played by Sophie Wilde, who he had met 2 years previously and who then disappeared. He went looking for her. He was warned off by a gang, and the story goes from there. Now, it is a complicated story with a lot of moving parts and a superb cast of young black actors to fill the characters. But in the end, as he stands up, all that matters is anybody going to believe him? And
okay, have you seen one or all?
I've only seen on the evidence of the first episode. It's a very effective hook. I can't wait really to see where the story is going. It has
okay,
that
so you are gripped. Okay.
That's right, but it's also Mahmood's analysis of the racial bias that's built into the criminal justice system. I think that's really interesting, and that's very effective, and that's what's going to generate headlines for a miniseries like this.
Okay, You Don't Know Me, BBC One tonight, starting at 9. Nadine, I think a question we all ask ourselves now and again is, how do I make it on the OnlyFans website? And there's no documentary for it on Channel 4 on Thursday at 10 p.m.
Can I just say, Brendan, in a nutshell,
what OnlyFans is.
I actually Googled the exact title of this to try and find out some more background information, and let me tell you that what came up. I found myself going in a whole different path.
Okay.
So just for people who don't know what OnlyFans is, it's a London-based subscription website that allows people, whether celebrities or ordinary people, to monetize themselves and their content. And that content is often of an adult nature. So the company has grown exponentially since its launch in 2016. There are a number of Irish creators who make an awful lot of money on showing whether it's footage of themselves or images. And celebrities have gotten involved. A lot of celebrities name check it in their songs. songs, Beyonce, Cardi B, and so on. And it's very much it's up there with, I suppose, TikTok as a very big cultural presence, yeah. Albeit of a more adult
but
variety.
But the fans pay a monthly subscription, most of which goes to the specific creator.
They do. Yeah. But if you're the average person who goes on and tries to have a look at OnlyFans, you can't because it's subscription based. So you have to.
I wouldn't know. Yeah.
Yeah, so you have to pay in. And this is why this Channel 4 documentary, How to Make It on OnlyFans, Thursday at 10 p.m. will probably do very well, because I suspect there's an awful lot of people who'll be quite interested to find out not only potentially how one can make it on OnlyFans, but what on earth the people who are making it on OnlyFans genuinely think of the subscription-based website. Because let's face it, for all that some people see it as a very viable means of generating income throughout what is a very tough time in the pandemic, there's a lot that comes with it that could potentially be very, very unsavoury.
Yeah. But no, it has been a place where sex workers have been able to make a living, hasn't it, when they weren't able to maybe make it otherwise. So
you have to be very careful about how you talk thing. About this, yeah, because yeah. if you say that it's a subscription-based website where a lot of sex workers are existing, there are a lot of ordinary people who are just posting images of themselves that aren't even necessarily graphic or explicit, yes. And they are also making a living from OnlyFans. So it's important to say this Absolutely. Is a website that has a lot of different types of content
yes.
on it.
Yes. Okay. So that's Thursday, 10 o'clock on Channel 4. John, Stat Let's Flats on Channel 4. Yeah. I was actually completely unaware of this. It sounds really good.
This is the third season of Jamie Demetriou's BAFTA-winning comedy series, which just finished on Channel 4 and is available on all four, the free streaming service. Stat is an incompetent and socially inept British Cypriot man who only has a job as a letting agent in London because his father owns the company. He's a complete dope. He's like Father Dougal Maguire times 1,000. Demetriou plays him brilliantly. And as this season got started, Stat's going to be a father for the first time. The family business is collapsing. He's involved in, we'll call it, a love triangle. Can he rescue the agency and salvage his relationship with his partner, who's a Russian postwoman, Katya, played by Ellie White? Everything about this, they're really short, sharp episodes. They're about 20 minutes. There's three seasons of them. It's perfect for a binge watch. If, like yourself, Brendan, you haven't heard of it or been familiar with it, it is hilarious.
Great.
It's an absolute howl from start to finish.
And it's nice to have a snacky thing like that as well for if you want 20 minutes here and
short
there.
Short,
like,
snappy. You get three episodes in an hour, no problem. Just yesterday...
You can get this
watch
really fast.
Really fast. Just yesterday, Oscar nominated no less a personage than Oscar nominated film director Lenny Abramson tweeted, "Stat Let's Flats is just brilliant."
Okay, so excellent. Right, that's our find for this week. So, right, thanks for that.
My own recommendation. It's hilarious.
Great. Okay, that's a good one. Nadine, little bit of music, just quickly. Nick Cave, Idiot Prayer on Friday. Next Friday, 9 p.m. on BBC4, and there is an album of this as well.
Yeah, so Nick Cave filmed this performance in London's Alexander Palace, and it was done at the height of the pandemic. And essentially, it's Nick Cave performing some of his classic songs. And as anyone who's ever seen Nick Cave live will attest, the man is spectacular in performance. So this is one that is not to be missed, both for Nick Cave fans and also maybe if you don't particularly know the songwriter very well, it's a good one to catch because he will convince you.
Yeah, and he's been on a very interesting trajectory.
He has. He lost his son a few years back. You know, he's really had an incredibly tough time, and it's actually given birth to a huge volume of work from him, both in the written form and also in songwriting. And there's he's done so much, even on his website, to sort of meditate on what that loss of his teenage son has meant to him in Brighton. And it's a terribly sad story.
And I think a huge community of grievers have built around him and are all getting a lot out of it. Okay, so that's Friday at 9 p.m. on BBC4, Nick Cave, Idiot Prayer. John, not only another JFK movie, this is in cinemas, if anyone's thinking of going to the cinema, another JFK movie also by Oliver Stone, who strikes me as a slightly obsessive loony at this stage.
I know. The first thing you have to do is brace yourself, because JFK was actually released 30 years ago. And
oh my
that's
God.
The most frightening thing in this entire documentary. This is Oliver Stone back on the JFK train, and he's attempting to turn the conspiracy theory into conspiracy reality around declassified files, recently declassified files relating to the 1963 assassination of JFK, President John F. Kennedy. JFK is an industry all to itself at this point in time, books, documentaries, websites. And in fairness to Stone, he focuses on the leading lights in that research, some of whom have been working on the case for decades. There's a lot of information to plow through. There's the security arrangements around Kennedy's visit to Dallas, questions about the assassination itself, the chain of evidence of the so-called magic bullet. He tells the story again. He tells the stories of Oswald and Jack Ruby. The real coup de grace, if you like, is the newly discovered eyewitnesses who were actually present in the book depository on that fateful day. And he puts it all together. And you have to understand his argument that this was far from an open and shut case. Yes, we get that. Yeah. But the problem with this film is how slippery he is in delineating between facts backed by evidence and bold claims backed by nothing more than conjecture.
He's gone a bit conspiracy theorist himself, isn't he?
He has, with the Putin documentary and the Castro documentary that he's made. He's very soberly tells the story, but the actual material is kind of excitable and a bit speculative and utterly indefinitive, I suppose, as the JFK story always will be.
Yeah. And I presume it's about 4 hours long as well.
He's asking the questions again.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's actually quite nippy. And he's got just brilliantly, it's brilliantly assembled, if you know what I mean. He tells the story very clearly.
All right.
It's just that he's not so clear about the stuff that's actually backed up and the stuff that he's just put together.
Okay.
And that's where I think, particularly in America at the moment, I mean, it's not so long ago that that in Dealey Plaza, the QAnon loonies gathered to believe and were saying that the anniversary of the Kennedy assassination would mark the return from the dead of JFK Jr., who would then return Donald Trump to the presidency.
Yeah.
That's part of all this craziness as well.
And who knew QAnon was wrong again in their predictions. Listen, just before we go, Nadine, very briefly, a lot of people have mentioned Maid on Netflix to me, but it's a good few women have said to me, no, it's actually really good.
It's Margaret Qualley, and it's based on a memoir which has been adapted for the series on Netflix. And actually, it's so immersive. It's the story of a woman who's struggling in life and starts cleaning houses of the wealthy. And Andie MacDowell plays her mother. They're actually real life mother daughter in it. And it is a fascinating watch.
Okay, great. Okay, Nadine O'Regan and John McGuire, thanks for that.